Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight until 10. We are live at Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor at Live Casino here in Greensburg. Stop out and enjoy an ice-cold Miller Lite. Training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smale Kia in Greensburg and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schlide Deck, and New Flow Men's Health. Joel Nelson back behind the glass in Green Tree. And right now we have Hunter Homestek with us on The Fan, the GM of 24/7 Fighting. So, Hunter, first I just want to get a little bit of your story into how you got, you know, all of this started, like an area MMA organization that is just kind of like a growing sport.
Oh, really? For sure. A growing sport in general, and definitely a growing sport in this area. I mean, everybody knows the wrestling background, the wrestling in Western PA. It's quite literally world class without exaggeration. So a hotbed for wrestling. Our owner, Ryan Middleton, started 247 Fighting Championships in 2019, in April of 2019. And that was kind of his vision from the jump, was we have all this wrestling, we have all this grappling, why can't it be a hotbed for MMA, which, as you said, is an emerging hotbed sport. It's just catching fire, getting bigger and bigger every year. I mean, everybody, you say the UFC now, everybody knows exactly what you mean, whereas just 10 years ago you'd say UFC and they'd be like, was that stuff they do in the cage, or what is that exactly? But everybody knows the UFC now. So basically we're kind of like Pittsburgh's version of the UFC, a mini regional UFC. And that was Ryan Middleton's vision from the jump. So yeah, it was interesting how I got involved, man. I had a journalism background mixed with a marketing background. So as Ryan and 247 were growing, about 2 years in, they were looking for a marketing manager. And I stepped into that role, and about 2 months in, he was like, man, I think you can impact the company in bigger ways. Like, how would you feel about being the GM? And I was like, brother, I have a print journalism degree from WVU. I don't know about being a GM of a business, but teach me and I'll run. So I've been learning on the fly, man, and now we're 4 years later doing really big things and growing a lot. So seems to be going okay.
Did you ever run into Adam Crowley down there?
I never down there, oddly enough. I've talked to him a lot.
Did you guys cross over? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what the age gap is.
I'm a little older, I think. I'm pretty sure I'm slightly older than Crowley. But yeah, we were there at the same time. I'm almost positive.
And it's my understanding you guys have a whole new event space, which will be, you know, big for you guys this year and the upcoming events.
Yeah, it's huge for us, and I hope. I mean, the mission is for it to be huge for the area in general, right? It's a 27,000 square foot multi-purpose event space in North Versailles called Sunny Days Arena. So it's, of course, for our fights. Our grand opening is August 9th, and we're having an MMA show August 9th, MMA kickboxing hybrid show August 9th at Sunny Days Arena. But beyond that, we're going to have concerts, comedy, trade shows, expos, things like that. It's a general multi-purpose event space. So the community of North Versailles, something we hear a lot. We always drive around North Versailles and try to go to different places for lunch and just integrate with the local community a little more. And we always hear that they want something to do. You know, there's not much to do in North Versailles. So now Sunny Days Arena is there, and we hope that we're bringing a full slate of just awesome events. And I know August 9th's fight card is insane. Like, we're insanely proud of what we put together there. So more of that to come for sure.
How far out do you guys, you know, sort of plan and, like, schedule events? I mean, like, obviously with UFC, it could be months, even a year out, over a year out, where, you know, a fight may be scheduled. Do you guys kind of go by that same method?
For sure. I mean, we would love to as much as possible. The thing is with MMA, and the UFC even runs into this, you see it at the highest levels, where you can have the best plan in the world, but one training camp injury, one fighter deciding he wants more money, whatever it may be, plans kind of go poof a lot in the MMA space. But we like to have 8 weeks minimum to plan a card. 12 weeks is super ideal. If we can get a 12-week head start on planning a card, we can do pretty solid work from there. But yeah, 8 weeks, we can still make it work. It moves really fast, man. I gotta say, this sport is one that you have to be super flexible. You have to be ready for fighters to drop out. Every single card, guys drop out. You have to find replacement opponents. You have to just be ready to roll with punches, no pun intended. But yeah, that's part of the sport.
What is that process kind of like if somebody backs out, you know, with a couple of weeks to go? Or I guess what I also want to ask, what's the latest a guy can drop out to where you can actually find somebody to take his place?
Yeah, well, first I grab about six more of these beers and cry a lot. That's the first step. You just cry until it doesn't hurt anymore. And then you start looking, man. We have a lot of connections. You know, we're very thankful to have worked with a ton of great gyms in the area, a ton of great coaches in the area. We have great marketing channels through text, through email, through everything. So we just start sending messages right away. Hey, guys, just lost this fight. The fighter weighs, let's just say, 135 pounds, and this is his record. If you have anybody who you think makes sense for this matchup, please reach out. So we use our social media. We use every channel we got, and we start looking, man, and hope you get a bite. It's not 100%. I'll say that. Sometimes fights drop out, and you just can't find a replacement in time. But to your second question there, which is definitely a fun one, because we joke all the time, you know, we have a fight week coming up next week with our show on August 9th. So next week's fight week for us. We always joke, who's it going to be this week? What's going to happen this week? So you can't really weigh-ins for MMA. Let's say a show's on Saturday. Weigh-ins are always on Friday. It's really hard to replace a fight on a Friday. On weigh-in day, if something happens, that's pretty much a no-go. Somebody would have to be already have all their medicals, all their blood work ready to go and in shape and on weight. It's just so unlikely that you would find that guy on one day's notice. So basically Thursday of fight week is your last possible chance.
What got you really into this? Like, was it just watching it growing up? Not that you are a fighter yourself, but you have to have some passion for this to where you watch a lot of these, you connect to a couple of fighters, and that's kind of your way that you got into like the fighting realm.
For sure, man. You wouldn't, we say it all the time internally, if you didn't love this sport, you would never stick around, because it's brutal. Like I said, it can really mess with your emotions. It can be super stressful and just tedious and everything negative. But when you love the sport at the core, which I definitely do, it makes everything, makes the juice worth the squeeze, as they say. But the way I got into it was actually when I was in high school, probably like 9th, 10th grade-ish, my cousin was an adult living on his own, making good money at the time, and would always order the UFC pay-per-views. So my family would always go to his house to watch UFC pay-per-views, man. I just fell in love with the sport from that point on. It was kind of the Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz era back then, 2000, I don't know, 5, 6-ish, I would say. So just fall in love with the sport. And then, like I said, I have a journalism background. So actually, I covered the sport professionally. I would travel around going to UFC events, interviewing fighters, interviewing coaches. So I was just super ingrained in that MMA scene. And then when Ryan and 247 started doing bigger things in Pittsburgh, he kind of knew my name from being in that MMA journalism space and hit me up. And now here we are.
Does Chuck Liddell have the best nickname of any UFC guy?
Man.
I feel like Iceman is
iconic.
Like a top tier. Like, you call anybody Iceman,
you can't.
Number
it's
one.
It's his. Yeah, man, that's a great question. And I wasn't prepared to go through. But Iceman, it's the way you know it's iconic is you can just say the Iceman, and there's only one guy. Nobody else can be the Iceman. You know, there's 400 guys that are Pitbull. There's a lot of this, a lot of that, but there's one Iceman. It's Chuck Liddell, dude.
Talk about some upcoming events that you guys have. I know you have one right around the corner, like a little bit over a week from right now. But, you know, even expand on that, you know, kind of what the schedule looks like for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. It's heating up like crazy, man. Having Sunny Days Arena open and available to not just our shows, but external shows is kind of crazy. So we do have August 9th coming up. That show is called 247 MMA at the venue. It's MMA and kickboxing, pro and amateur. Great card. We have a submission grappling card on August 30th called 247 Cage Grappling at the venue. And then we start getting into some external shows. So to totally do a 180, we have a vintage clothing vendor. It's called Vintage at the Venue, September 13th. So that's going to be like all your vintage clothes, records, furniture, things like that. There's going to be a lot of good Steelers and Penguins and Pirates gear there. And it's also September 13th, that's the Backyard Brawl. So
yes,
for me, being WVU, you know, I'm going to be repping some WVU gear there. Hopefully also picking up some good WVU gear. But then after that, we got back-to-back boxing shows on Saturdays that aren't ours. So external promotions coming in, having a boxing show September 20th, Derek Gianta. And then Gary Coleman, another local gym owner promoter, is having one September 27th. So a lot of combat sports with a little bit of vintage clothing sprinkled in to kick off our first 2 months.
Now, what's that like for you guys at 247 when you kind of like split the venue with another promotion that comes in?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting for us because we're used to being the ones going out and renting a space and making it work for our show. And now we're in the position where we have that space with Sunny Days Arena. So one beautiful thing about Pittsburgh, man, is that there's not a lot of infighting between promoters and promotions. It's kind of everyone works together to build up the overall scene, which is great. So there's no like ill will, like, oh, I don't want this boxing promoter in here. It's not like that. Like, we want to help each other grow. So we just treat it like what we've seen from venues. You know, we've seen a billion venue rental agreements at this point. We know what they charge for. And we try to make it way more competitive than that. I mean, that's literally the reason why we wanted Sunny Days Arena to begin with, was that we recognize these venue agreements are not always awesome for the promoter. So how can we do better than that? And that's kind of our mission so far.
Now, before you got into your own arena, how was it trying to kind of juggle the different event spaces that you guys would use?
Man, it's so difficult. It really is. But we've had 35 shows now before we got to the grand opening of Sunny Days Arena. But by the end, we were pretty flexible. We were pretty good. We were pretty smooth, man. We've had quite a few shows, especially recently, just due to different circumstances where on fight week, we had one venue we were scheduled to be at just totally cancel on us on fight week. And we had to find a completely different place to have the show on 3 days' notice. And we made it work, man. Our crew's amazing. Our entire team, our setup crew, they're the best. I tell everybody, like, you come to our show and it looks good. You know, we've got the lights, we've got a good crowd, good energy. But none of it happens without them, man. The setup crew, our team is the best, truly.
What were some of your favorite events that you guys have had? I mean, I guess it could be the first one that you were a part of, or even the most recent one, yeah. Whatever it may be, for whatever reason.
I love that, man. A few jumped to mind immediately, so it must be the right answer. We had Brawl in the Burg 20 back in at Murraysville Sports Zone, and I don't know what statute of limitations is, but there were more people there than there were allowed to be there, I'm pretty sure, based on capacity rules. We sold that place out, and it was so packed and so insane, and the energy in that place was just like, this is what you dream of as a regional MMA promotion. Like, everybody's hyped. We had some really good fights on that one. And then the other card that stands out a lot was our first ever submission grappling card, submission super fights card. It was called Sprawl in the Burg. And we had legitimate world-class grapplers on that. I mean, a guy, if anybody listening likes Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Dante Leon grappled PJ Barch on that card. And that's, like, quite literally two top 10 guys in the world in Pittsburgh grappling each other. And the environment was amazing. And both PJ and Dante, who have been around the world doing this, afterwards were like, I don't know what you guys are doing here, but it's awesome, and I hope you keep doing it, because thank you for that opportunity. I was like, man, coming from you, that means everything to us, so thank you, yeah.
Are those probably two of the biggest names that you guys have pulled in?
Yeah, for sure. For UFC fans, on that same Sprawl in the Burg card, we had a local coach, Isaac Greeley. He runs the Mat Factory in Lower Burl. Amazing guy. He grappled an ex-UFC title challenger, Gray Maynard. So Gray was big on Ultimate Fighter. I believe he won the Ultimate Fighter. And challenged for the UFC title, if not once, maybe even twice. I should know that. But he grappled Isaac on that card, and it was an amazing moment. I mean, a fantastic match. It actually won our grappling match of the year when we did our awards that year. So, yeah, huge name there.
Have you reached out to Greg Jones at all? He's a Greensburg legend. He's down in Florida somewhere, but he trains a lot of fighters.
That's great, man. Greensburg legend and WVU legend.
Yes,
brother.
He was.
Yeah,
yes.
So,
Hall of Famer, I think,
absolutely.
At WVU.
Oh, as he should be. He had one of the best college wrestling careers ever. Greg Jones is the man. I definitely I keep in touch with him for sure. He's actually, last I heard, I hope this isn't blown his cover, Greg, but he was looking to start a promotion of his own, and he was actually hitting me up asking me for some tips and stuff, and just talking, honestly. We've kept in touch here and there from when I was an MMA journalist covering. We actually traveled down to Florida and visited with him there, so we have a pretty solid relationship.
When it comes to working with different talent, how challenging can that be? I mean, it's just a lot of different personalities, and yeah. Plus it's a lot of alphas.
Yeah, man, that you nailed it there at the back end. It's not only personalities, but alphas, and these guys, man, what nobody understands, or few people understand, I should say, is that these guys don't just fight on fight night. They train for 8 to 12 weeks leading into that. They're dieting. They're not seeing their loved ones. They're not seeing their children. They're putting everything into that fight ahead of time to make sure they make weight, to make sure they put on a good show. And the fight night is just what everybody sees. But everything that happens before that, you miss. So by the time they get to fight night, man, they're wound up. They're in a special state of mind. You know what I mean? So Yeah, there's challenges, man, but you put enough alpha dudes in any situation. You know, I know you were just at Steelers training camp. There's fights every single training camp between the fighters. Yep. It happens. When you get enough dudes in any given space, you're going to have that for sure.
What do you think makes a great fighter?
Man, dedication above all. I don't think you need to be the most skilled guy. It certainly helps, you know. Natural athleticism, natural athletic gifts, of course, that's a great base for any sport. But what separates the guys that I see are the guys who truly invest everything. You're not lying to yourself about it. You're actually in the gym every day. You're not just posting on Instagram 12 times a day, but you're actually in the gym, putting in the work, dedicated to getting better, and not afraid to lose. That's something that I think a lot of guys are shying away from. There's kind of a trend in MMA right now, particularly in the amateur ranks, where guys, I feel like, are shying away from the tougher fights because they want to preserve this undefeated record. But as an amateur, being undefeated doesn't mean anything. It just means that you didn't lose when you were an amateur. But as soon as you go pro, your record is 0-0 again, and nobody cares about what you did as an amateur. So I feel like the amateur ranks are the time for you to get out there and get those hard fights so that when you turn pro, you're not surprised by anything at that point.
Where do you find that the background is that most guys come from? Is it wrestling at either the high school or collegiate level? Is it a lot of like jiu-jitsu or, you know, something in the martial arts background? Is it even, you know, neither of those? Is it somebody that just played, you know, football or basketball or whatever in high school?
It's definitely a mix of everything, but for sure the most would be wrestling, especially around here. Everybody, you can't grow up in Pittsburgh and not wrestle, so everybody has kind of that wrestling base, basically, that we work with. Now, like you said, there's levels to that. There's D1 All-American wrestlers, and then there's a guy who wrestled 4 years in high school at a small high school. There's different levels to it, but basically everybody here wrestles to some degree, and along with that goes the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. There's some incredible schools here. There's actually a school right in this mall. Gracie Allegiance Jiu-Jitsu is quite literally in this mall where we're at right now. So you can peek around any corner in Western PA and find some good Jiu-Jitsu, no doubt.
Are you noticing that too? And we're talking to Hunter Homestek from 247 Fighting. He's the GM there here on 93.7 The Fan. Are you noticing that along with what you guys are building in MMA, you are just finding more and more places where guys can get kind of a martial arts background or just, you know, just wrestling or grappling background? Like there are places, like you said, there's one in this mall at Westmoreland Mall. I think there's another one that's somewhere like around downtown Greensburg too, not far where we're from right now. Are you finding like more and more of those places popping up too?
Absolutely, and it's beautiful to see from all angles. You know, as a promotion, of course, it benefits us to have a bigger talent pool to pick from, to have more gyms to work with, to have more fighters interested in competing. That's great, but what I love more than that is kind of something I alluded to earlier and how Pittsburgh works together. Most of these gyms will cross-train. So now you've got guys from one good gym training with guys from another good gym, and it's not guys you go with every day. You know, you're a sports guy. You work with the same guy every day. You figure out his tendencies. You can beat this guy. But how will you go against this guy that you only see once a month and who's developing new skills and new techniques and everything? So it's really interesting in Pittsburgh to see how that's helped the overall development. The average amateur fighter now, quite literally, I mean, I covered local Pittsburgh MMA back in 2011, 2012. The average amateur nowadays could easily hang with those from that era. I mean, the average level is just way up here now, and it's only getting higher every day. So it's really exciting to see, and obviously makes it super exciting for what that means for the future.
How often are you getting calls, texts, emails, whatever the easiest way of communication is, of like, hey, you got to check this guy out? Or how often do you ever get even like DMs from fighters themselves, like, hey, I want to get into this?
All day, man. My wife was right over there. You can ask her how often I'm checking my phone for fighters blowing me up, coaches blowing me up. It's crazy, man. It's very exciting. I love it. It's always cool when somebody reaches out and is very excited to compete. So, yeah, the scene right now is at an all-time high, I believe, and it's largely amateur right now. I would say back in that earlier kind of glory days I was talking about, we had a lot of guys from this area go even to the UFC, to Bellator, Chris Dempsey, Dominic Mazzotta, Kamal Worthy, Adam Milstead. They were all in that mix. And now it's more amateur skewed, but you can see they're all getting closer. A lot of these amateurs are now turning pro, are now, you know, 5-0 pros and on the cusp of making that next level. So that next wave is literally right around the corner.
So I wanted to ask that too. How many fighters have you guys had, or how many have you interacted with that have made that jump to the big time? Either, yeah, you know, not necessarily UFC, maybe Bellator or one of the other like major promotions.
For sure. So Kama Worthy actually went straight from the 247 belt. He was the 247 pro lightweight champion and went straight to the UFC from there. Won his first two fights in the UFC as well, which is incredible. I mean, making the UFC is a feat in and of itself. That's like making a 53-man NFL roster, man. I mean, you're the elite of the elite if you're even in the UFC. But then to actually win twice in the UFC, it's incredible. So we had him. We had John DeJesus went from our title to Bellator. Around the same time that Coleman went to the UFC. And just recently, our featherweight and lightweight pro champ, Ethan Goss, just got signed to PFL. So very cool move for him. Ethan actually fights August 21st. So we're super excited for him.
Now, do you get contacted when something like that happens, or is it more like the fighter and like their team that gets contacted, or I guess maybe a mix of both?
It's more the fighter and the manager, but that said, we are on the back end always hitting up these promotions. You know, we have relationships with the matchmakers and promotions and everything. We're always trying to let them know, hey, this guy, you might want to give this guy a real good look. You know, he's tearing it up for us. There's not much more we can do for him around here. He's ready for bigger things. So, yeah, we definitely always put the bug in their ear when we feel like somebody's ready.
Fan text line, that's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have Hunter Homestack with us, GM of 247 Fighting. A little bit more with him coming up next. We are live from Live Casino. We're at the Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor here in Greensburg on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. In support of the Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive, you can bring a brand new backpack to Donaldson's Crossroads inside Mini Mall tomorrow, August 1st, from 1 to 2 p.m. Stop and chat with Adam Crowley of the Fan Morning Show. Help us get students in Pittsburgh public schools ready for the upcoming school year. Believe it or not, I had a young lad come up to me a little bit earlier and said, please say hi to Adam Crowley for me. I immediately texted Crowley that, and he was stunned. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Donnie Chedrick with you live from Live Casino here in Greensburg. We're at Sports and Social Steel City, and it is Thursday, which means 7-7-7 wing night at Sports and Social Steel City. Seven wings for $7 starting at 7 p.m. And the fine folks here at Sports and Social have me set up for the rest of the night. I got a little platter, two of just about every flavor. They did bring out one that has me very intimidated. It is their hottest sauce that they have. It includes the Carolina Reaper. I might need to stay away from that one until we get close to the finish line here, or else I will not make it to 10 p.m. Joined by Hunter Homestack right now, the GM of 247 Fighting, continuing to talk to him about the great stuff he does for the local MMA community. So we just got done, Hunter, talking about some fighters that you had that have moved to the next level. Have you noticed anybody in like the management side of things that has, you know, gotten a contact or even like one or two off chances to work at the next level?
That's a super interesting field right now, man. There's definitely people, if I'm understanding what you're asking me correctly, people getting into MMA management is very interesting, because there's certainly a market for that. There are definitely guys locally, but interestingly enough, it seems like most guys locally that are kind of on the cusp of that next level will get tied into some national agency. You know, a lot of our guys, we were just talking about like Kama, John DeJesus, Ethan Goss, those guys that made it to the next level from 247, they're all tied in with larger management groups that also manage guys that are in the UFC, like dozens and dozens of guys in the UFC. So it is, I mean, every job, brother, you know that. It's about who you know as much as what you're doing. So when that intersects, when you're doing really well, putting on impressive performances, and you know the right people, that's when you get the call up.
What are some of the big selling points that you have to, like, some of your sponsors out there, or, you know, people that are just interested in getting involved?
I think the event itself, there's a lot of times where we'll be kind of courting a sponsor, so to speak, and I can tell that they're interested but maybe not totally sold on it, and we'll just say, hey, let me get you a couple tickets, bring your crew out to a show and just see what we're about. And I think when they see it, when they experience that electricity, when they see what we're actually doing, because it's one thing to say what you're doing, it's another thing to demonstrate it for people and show, like, we were not kidding when we said there was going to be 1,200 people here losing their minds the whole time, and we would mention your brand 600 times throughout the night, and people would know your name by the end of the night. You know, those things are tangible once you get to see it.
Yeah, what happens, you brought up the event you guys had that sold out, and you said it was even above capacity, probably breaking
allegedly
fire codes.
Donnie, allegedly.
How often have you guys seen that happen, and has it been something that has kind of progressed over time where, like, okay, now people are getting a little bit more familiar with what we have to offer, so we're starting to see bigger crowds now every time?
For sure. Our average attendance has definitely gone up dramatically in the past 6 years. I mean, over the course of our existence, it's gone up dramatically for sure. But that show in particular, we've sold out a few times, and I would say I got to cut us a little slack because we were in the Monroeville Convention Center a lot, and I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a huge space. You could pack 5,000 people in there, which is just not a realistic crowd for regional MMA, so a sellout there was never really even on the table. But the places that we could sell out, we have. You know, the Hollywood Casino at the Meadows tent, we sold out twice. We sold out, obviously, the Murraysville Sports Zone. We sold out our own shows a few times. And that one in Murraysville, though, that I specifically talked about, I mean, we joke about it internally all the time. It was like lightning in a bottle. It was like everything we did worked for that show, and it was just crazy. And yeah, that fight night was definitely one to remember. Here's how you know I love it. I have a framed picture from that show of just an overview of the crowd because it was like, man, this one was special. You're just sitting there and you're like, there's something really special about this one.
How big, I mean, you might not know the exact dimensions, but you look at a venue, how large does one have to be for you to think, okay, we can do a show here, we can pull off an event here?
For sure, like 13,000-14,000 square feet at a minimum, we can work with that. We want at least 1,000 people in there because we know we can hit 1,000 pretty regularly now. So we want to be able to go a little over 1,000, and if we can approach that 2,000 mark, that's really where we want to be. And that's, oddly enough, or interestingly enough, that's exactly where Sunny Days Arena is at. It's in that size, and it's split between two levels, which is what I love the most about this place. Honestly, you've got the ground seating, which is kind of going to be our traditional setup that people are used to, but then we've got balcony seating too, and that view from above where you can see down into the cage, and a lot of those seats are reserved for our amazing sponsors. And I know there's two people here listening live that are very excited about their balcony seats. So that's what's going to set this place apart. I think once people get to experience that, get to see fights from above where you're actually looking down into the cage instead of through the cage, they're going to go nuts about that opportunity.
Have you guys ever done an outdoor show?
We have not, and intentionally we have not, because the variables, as we were talking earlier, with fighters pulling out and stuff, it's a stressful industry already without worrying about what the
weather's
going to do. Yeah, I know a lot of boxing promoters make it work, and a lot of outdoor events are really cool, but, man, it's just not worth the risk to us.
Yeah, I didn't know if, I mean, you know, we have, you know, Wild Things Park in Washington, or, you know, like one of the other, like, smaller stadiums, Highmark, you know,
yeah,
like over in, like, Station Square, Southside. I didn't know if that was ever an area you would venture into, but I guess you make the very easy point about the weather.
We've discussed it for sure, and we've thought about it. You know, Bill Hutchinson, shout out Bill Hutchinson, just had a great show at Turf Wars at Highmark Stadium, and it was a great show, and the weather didn't affect it to my understanding. But the thing is, man, the very first time a fighter slips and loses because the humidity was on the canvas or something, you're going to feel like, why did we do that? Why did we just ruin this dude's opportunity just to have a show outside? It's just not worth it.
By the way, I was able to remember one of the only times I was ever at the Monroeville Convention Center when you brought it up. I was about 5 years old, and I got to meet and get the autograph of Jack Lambert.
Oh, come on, Donnie.
Which is something that I don't think many people around the age of 30 can say, considering he's kind of like shacked up in a treehouse somewhere in the middle of the state.
Yeah.
He probably would have made for a pretty good cage fighter.
One of the best. I would say if you were ranking like all-time Steelers that could cage fight, Jack Lambert might be number one, but I got to say Troy Polamalu is probably number one. That athleticism, his explosiveness, everything about Troy, I think he would have been a ridiculous MMA fighter if he wanted to.
I think another name that always pops up for people is James Harrison.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. All right, listen. I don't want to get attacked by James Harrison for saying
he's
this.
A scary guy. He's actually
been to our shows. He's related to a fighter who competes for us, Cowboy Eddie. So he's been to our shows, and I've seen him in person. He looks like a Gears of War character.
Yes.
You know, he looks fake. But guys like that in MMA, they have about 3 to 5 minutes max in the gas tank. If you can survive, the real muscle-bound guys, they don't excel in MMA, surprisingly, because the cardio is just not there. And I'm sorry, James, but we watched you run 100 yards in the Super Bowl, and the dude couldn't breathe for 10 minutes. Like, that's not going to work in MMA.
Which weight classes do you find to be the most entertaining?
The smaller ones, for sure, I would say. 125, 135, 145. They just, to our point about James, they have endless gas tanks at that level. They can go full speed for the entire fight, never slow down, always be a threat. But there's something at every weight class. The heavyweights are always any punch could be the last punch of the night. That's always exciting when you're just walking on eggshell, like, oh, which one's it going to be? But, yeah, I mean, MMA back in the day, as we were talking about earlier, it's evolved so much that every weight class now has elite athletes all over it, to where it's not just a bunch of dudes who slam a couple beers and think they can throw punches. You know, it's legitimate athletes, and yeah, it's changed the game dramatically on that level.
Something else that I feel has grown, especially over the last 10 years, and at least at the UFC level, the amount of female fights. You know, how many of those do you guys normally have and are able to promote? Because that seems like a market that has been growing, really, since, like, the Ronda Rouseys of the world have broken in.
Absolutely. Ronda changed the game for female MMA. I know Dana White was famously on record at one point saying he would never have women in the UFC, and then he watched Ronda fight in Strikeforce and said, I changed my mind. I want women in the UFC now because she's amazing. So we definitely have women. There's no women on our August 9th card, unfortunately, but we do have one or two female bouts per card on average. You know, there's a lot of super talented female fighters in this area. Actually, one of them, Carly Jo Thomas, is fighting for a promotion out east August 30th. She's fought for us several times. And, yeah, we try to get females all the time. Just like you said, I have people asking me a lot, just anecdotally, what women do you have on this card? Because I always get really excited to watch the female fights. They're super exciting, super technical, and ferocious. They're so mean, man. They're so mean.
Some of the – I mean, you see some of the images after those fights in the UFC, I mean, you have like a baseball, looks like, that's growing on the forehead. It's scary.
That Joanna hematoma, I know the exact picture you're talking about. She had like an alien growing out the side of her head. It was insane, yeah.
Have you noticed any, like, programs that are really just, like, female-based with, like, martial arts or MMA that, like, are trying to get more and more women into the sport?
Yeah, there's a promotion called Invicta FC. They were very popular recently. I'm not sure if they went under or just radically slowed their pace, but I definitely haven't heard as much about them recently. But Invicta was an all-female MMA league, and a lot of the top females that you would see jump to the UFC would be Invicta champ. It was kind of like a feeder league where once you become the Invicta champ, you get drafted to the UFC.
Okay. That's an interesting. Is that like a different process than how they normally get there?
It's similar. It was just a way more direct line, to where it was like everyone knew Invicta was like the pinnacle of female MMA before you get to the UFC. Like, if you were an Invicta champ, you were clearly ready for the UFC. Yeah, it was a cool setup. Like I said, I'll have to check and see if it still exists. I don't know.
So you brought up how you like the. You know, smaller weight classes, because those guys can go pretty much forever. Do you feel that even translates for you when you still watch like a big UFC event? Like, hey, I want to see the bantamweight guys just go at it for, you know, the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, I do definitely think the bantamweight division is one of the most interesting in the UFC, for sure. But at that level, when we're talking about that level of athlete and martial artist, I care more about the narratives going in. I'm a big storyline guy. You know, I want to know why this guy fighting this guy is interesting, and how much they hate each other, what the background is. So I'm more on that side. So pretty much any weight class, if you give me a good story, I'm in.
So that's where you can kind of cross the path with, like, pro wrestling, too.
100%.
I mean, and there's been a couple of guys that have crossed over that Rubicon. I mean, I feel like Brock Lesnar is probably, like, at his peak, was probably one of the most impressive athletes alive.
I agree. I mean, you're talking a guy that was on the fringe of making NFL rosters, plus UFC champion.
Who had never played football at a high level either.
Right. He could just jump in and do anything. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. At that size, his athleticism was crazy. That was a guy who had to actually cut weight to make the heavyweight limit, so that's just unheard of in general. But then to still be fast and agile and have a gas tank and actually technically sound, too. Yeah, he was special.
Talking to Hunter Homestek, he is the GM of 247 Fighting, the local MMA scene. Hunter, this was something that we were kind of going back and forth this morning of, you know, some of the things that we wanted to have as talking points. And I said, well, you know, we're in 2025. It has become a pretty big theme this year that people are doing, like, the top 10 at whatever it may be. You know, I put out a list of top 25 Steelers. People have done the Pirates, the Penguins, whatever. If you had to go top 10 MMA fighters, it can be man, woman, it doesn't all have to be UFC, since 2000, what do you think that list looks like?
It's so tough, man. Number one for me, undoubtedly, is not tough. I think John Jones is the best fighter to ever do it, probably the best fighter that ever will do it, because he hit that beautiful point where the skill level wasn't too high across the board, but he was just a level above and then maintained it throughout. So it's going to be super hard for anybody now coming up to have that level of dominance. Kind of like Tiger Woods in golf. You know, it's going to be hard for any golfer to do that again just because the general level is so much higher. So John Jones hit that perfect point. Number two for me, I think, would be very surprising to a lot of people. I'm going with Khabib Nurmagomedov. Finished undefeated. To me, when you talk about best ever conversations, if you never lose, that puts you on an entirely different level, regardless of anything else. If you never lost, you're on a different level. So John Jones and Khabib are one and two for me. Number three, I didn't think he was the most exciting guy ever, but George St. Pierre, for sure, number three. What he did was remarkable. His run was insane. Four, I'm actually going with somebody we just talked about, Ronda Rousey. And I think that's going to surprise a lot of people because Amanda Nunes is probably the technically more superior female fighter, the best, air quote, female fighter of all time. But what Ronda did for the sport and the way she changed everything, like we just said, literally put female fighting on the map, when you consider that, it's totally different. And her run to the UFC when she was literally just armbarring everybody in the first round, it was insane to see. We're never going to see a female fighter do that again. Number five, that's where it gets super tough because there's so many people in the mix. But I'm going with Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, flyweight champ for a long time. Said earlier, you know, I like the smaller weight classes. And the 125 for sure doesn't get a lot of love in the UFC. So Mighty Mouse's technical superiority was on a different planet. I mean, he had no weaknesses. Yeah, he was remarkable.
No Conor McGregor on that list, I noticed.
He might be six, if I'm being honest. And skill-wise, he doesn't even belong in the top 10. But when you consider, again, the greater impact on the sport, that, I mean, Conor's rise was like my peak in MMA journalism. That's when I was covering MMA hard. The way he influenced everything is almost impossible to even describe. I mean, you would write any Conor McGregor article and the views would just skyrocket. Like, you could talk about anything he did and everybody was tuned in. So yeah, it was unlike anything else. Legitimately, I think he would be number six for me.
It feels like with him that, like, when it comes to popularity in the sport, do you think he's a Mount Rushmore type figure? If you're just talking popularity,
easily 100% undisputed. Yeah, could even be number one.
Follow us on Twitter. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hunter Homestek, the GM of 247 Fighting. We are here at Live Casino in Greensburg on the second floor at Sports and Social Steel City. By the way, check out the car cruise on August 3rd from noon until 5 in the Live Casino parking lot. Cars, trucks, motorcycles will be accepted. Visit Car Cruise Live. .com. Hunter, this was awesome, man. You know, I'm glad that we were able to do this, get a little look at the local MMA scene, you know, and everything that you guys were doing. I think it's really cool what you guys have been able to put together.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having us and let me talk about it. Spread the word. We hope August 9th, the grand opening of Sunny Days Arena. We hope you guys are all out there having a good time with us. If you like the UFC, I can't stress it enough. If you like the UFC, please come see a local fight, see what these guys are doing, man. It's incredible. It's the best sport to watch live. I always tell everybody, MMA and hockey are the two sports, I think, that when you see it live, you develop a much deeper appreciation for what they're doing.
What are the best ways that people can hit you guys up, and what are the best ways to get tickets?
Sure, sunnydaysarena.com or 247fighting.com. Get tickets, hit us up there. Go check it out. Like I said, August 9th, next Saturday, August 9th. Sunny Days Arena, it's right north for sales on the backside of Mercedes Motorsports building. So super easy to find, free, abundant parking. You don't get that at a lot of events
that's
in
nice.
Pittsburgh, so that's nice. Come check us out. Yep, sunnydaysarena.com.
There we go. Hunter Homestek, GM, 247 Fighting. Hunter, thanks, man. This was great.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Great weather in Pittsburgh on Friday. Sunny, temps in the low 80s. Similar weather out here in Greensburg and in Latrobe if you are attending the Friday Night Lights practice tomorrow night. Coming up, Jeff Hathorn will give us a little bit of a training camp report. The sports director from 93.7thefan.com. That is next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.